Good evening, everyone. My name is Justice Dazzle, and this is 404 Cishet Not Found, Episode 2. Tonight, I am going to be talking about intimacy. One of the things that I have found in my 34-ish years is that most people, at least a lot of the people that I have come across and been in relationships, whether they were friends, co-workers, romantic, or other type of relationships, is that a lot of these people, and myself for a very long time, didn't understand the differentiation between intimacy and sexual intimacy. And for myself, it has caused many misunderstandings and problems at times. Because God, there are so many times where not having those close personal connectedness in those relationships has caused problems, or not seeing there being a problem, because in a romantic relationship, the sex is still happening. So why is there a problem? How is there a problem? Why did we break up? How is there an issue? What's going on here? Da 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 da. And with coming to terms with my sexuality, with my gender and gender identity, and doing all of the deep, visceral soul searching that I did and continuing to do, and in fact is almost as much, if not more, deep and raw as it was when I was sitting in that confused gender purgatory before I really understood and knew what my identity was, and before I realized that I am a trans woman. And so, you know, like, there were just so many times where things just happened, and because I was in a romantic sexual relationship with someone, and the sex was still happening, the sex was still good, there was no problem with that, but there was a loss, there were things that just couldn't be resolved because the intimacy had been lost, or had gotten so, there was so much garbage in between that we couldn't resolve it. But that's not why I'm here, is to talk about sexual intimacy. In fact, I'm here for the opposite reason, to talk about the fact that intimacy, in my experience, 99% of it occurs outside of the bedroom, outside of sex. And there are so many different ways that that can be expressed. You know, we've all seen the "what is your love language," you know, and "is mine compatible with my boyfriend or girlfriend or wife or husband or partner," or whatever terms you use for whoever that significant other or others are in your life. But I personally haven't seen a lot talking about the other parts of the intimacy. You know, like sexual compatibility is great. Sexual intimacy is great to have that and to have it be compatible and meaningful. But what about the other 99% of the time? So, you know, as well as intimacy with other loved ones that you're not in a relationship with, one of the problems that I had for a very long time was I couldn't recognize and separate intimacy from lust or from sexual desire. And now part of that, obviously, is I was hiding who I was from myself and from everyone else. So I was putting myself out there and doing these things that are traditionally male to do. You know, and because the things that I was learning, the lessons that I was finding and having given to me because I was pulling them in because I didn't know what the right thing was to do. So I was taking them from perhaps not the most healthy people, but they were the people that were around. And I know for a lot of people, that's the same thing. They get those lessons from family, or if their family isn't very sex positive, or they don't have those conversations, because those are awkward conversations to have with family members, they're getting them from their friends, they're getting them from TV, they're getting them from music, they're getting them from books, you know, and those typically aren't the healthiest. They can be, but the majority of the time they are a pipe dream of what it is, and they don't show the in-between times because that's not what sells copies. That's not what has people buy tickets. That's not what has people buy the CD or the digital copy or listen to it on their Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. You know, and there are so many different types of intimacy. So, you know, I'm just going to go down and talk about a few of them, you know. And the first one is familial intimacy with your family. You know, like, you can have true, intimate, beautiful, loving moments with your siblings, with your aunts and uncles, with your nieces and nephews, with your with all of those people. And of course, there is no desire or lust or sexual tension there because they are your family. So obviously, you know, the intimacy there is not going to be of a sexual nature. Hopefully, it is not going to be of a sexual nature. And because of all of the reflections that I've done on myself over the years, and looking at my upbringing, looking at the relationships that I have with my family, all those types of things, it has showed me a lot of different things about myself, about who I am, about how those relationships are formed, how I got my ideas for what a good relationship looks like and acts like and sounds like. But we have all that extra baggage because it's our family. You know, one of the things that, I don't know if I came up with it, I don't know if I heard it, but I say a lot, it's so easy for our family to push our buttons because they're the ones that installed them. You know, when they say something, they can say one simple phrase and it pushes us off the deep end. And it just hits us right in the heart, right between the eyes, and can sting and can evoke an extreme emotional response from us. And I don't think they mean to do that, but it's just the fact of the matter. They're the ones that know us, that knew us from the beginning. So a lot of those anxieties and fears and all that type of stuff that we have are so close to them, and it's so easy for them to get there. But what that can also do is it can put an extra layer of blockage between us having a loving, intimate relationship with our family members, you know, and not being able to separate, this person hurt me when I was 12, this person said this thing to me when I was 8, this person didn't approve of my first partner, this person didn't understand why I didn't want to go to college, or I went to this school, or for this degree, or I got this job, or I decided to move to this city, or decided to move in with this partner too, you know, in their opinion, too early, or had a baby too young, or didn't have a baby, or whatever, you know, all of the decades, potentially decades, of resentment and fear and hurt feelings and all of that type of stuff, you know. And I do not claim to be an expert with this, and I at times have more issues with my family than most, especially now, because they're getting better, but they are not the most understanding or accepting of me, because they have known me the longest and are confused, and it causes issues. But that doesn't mean that I can't have intimate moments with them, even with all of that baggage and even with those misunderstandings and sometimes inability to change or be willing to see me as I am now versus a few years ago, and see me as the person I truly am. I can still be intimate with them, you know. So one of my sisters, she lives about 3 hours away from me. And prior to COVID, we were meeting about halfway, maybe 3-4 times a year. And we would meet up and we would get lunch and then go for a nature hike and spend time with each other and talk about what was going on in our lives and the struggles and the dreams and the problems and the people in our lives, and all of that stuff, and what's going on with work and stuff and things that are happening in our heads, mental health issues, family, all of that stuff, plans for the future, all of it. And while we have all of that past stuff, being able to put that aside and take the time to focus on the other person and really dig deep into what's going on with them and are there any problems and can I be helpful and what do you need from me, you know, and then just taking the time after that, you know, like if I share something with her or she shares something with me that's difficult or that one of us is going through that we're worried about, we're fearful about, we're anxious about, you know, actually taking the time to reach back out in a week or two, or if we see something in an article or on TV or in a book that could be helpful in that particular situation, and actually just sending it their way. You know, that's a moment of intimacy because, you know, for example, if I see something and it reminds me of her with something that she's going through, I can send it her way and let her know that she was heard, and that someone is thinking about her and cares about her. Because one of the problems with our society is that separation, you know, because we all live such busy lives and we've got so many things going on, and I am absolutely on that list. You know, when before COVID happened, people saw my planner and they're like, how do you have time to do anything outside of this? Like, how do you get this all done? And, you know, part of that is me. That's just the type of person that I am. I get involved in a lot of different things. I like to be busy. I have a lot of different skills, and I'm willing to put them to use in different ways. And, you know, but it also made it so it was harder for me at times to reach out with those people, to those people, that if I didn't have that intimate moment with them and knowing those things were going on, I wouldn't have the ability to do that, because it wouldn't pop up when I read an article, because I wouldn't have that piece of information. You know, and there's so many other ways and things that I can do, but that's a small one that I can do so that I can have some sort of intimacy with my family, you know, meeting them for coffee once a month, or, you know, if I'm going to an event that they might appreciate or enjoy, inviting them, or if I'm having a brunch or a party at my house where I am controlling the guest list, invite them, you know, or if they're in town and I'm going to hang out with friends, see if it's all right with the friend, obviously, first, and then inviting them to come with so that they can see me in not such a, like, they can see me with the relationship that I have with my friends and get to know some of them, so that when I'm telling stories about them later, they will know who I'm talking about, and it's not just words or pictures that they see online or that I show them. You know, so there's so many different things that I can do, and obviously, you know, your situation is going to be slightly different than mine in its own way, and I've noticed that because of having that relationship with at least that one sister, and I'm not gonna lie, that is relatively new. We haven't been close in a long time. I am not great with my relationship with my siblings, and it hasn't gotten amazing over the last few years. It had gotten better, and then I came out as trans, and that kind of threw a wrench in the gears with a lot of things, but it's made it easier when I'm in family situations, and I know it's got to have made it easier for her, because she knows what's going on with me. You know, I feel comfortable talking with her about what's really going on, not just the surface level things. You know, and the next one I'm going to talk about is romantic intimacy. And again, this has nothing to do with sex. It can, but there are so many other things. You know, if you're in a romantic relationship or multiple romantic relationships, you have an idea of who your partner is. Because of the time that you've spent together, the questions that you've asked, the conversations that you've had, the things you've talked about their dreams and their hopes and their desires and their wishes and their past and their trauma and all of those things. But I know for me and for a lot of other people that I've had conversations with about their relationships, at a certain point, you know, there's the honeymoon phase is over, that gets thrown around, you know, or, you know, you become boyfriend and girlfriend, or boyfriend and boyfriend, or partners, or whatever your terminology is in your particular situation. And at a certain point, that getting to know each other slows down. It doesn't stop, but it slows down. And it becomes more routine instead of exciting. And so there can be times where that intimacy stops in certain aspects. And so it's left only in the bedroom or very cursorily outside of the bedroom. And that can cause so many problems. I know it has for me in past relationships. And, you know, but there are so many ways of being intimate without being sexual, without doing that. You can be loving and you can be intimate by making a meal for your partner, or if you know that they've got to leave early for work and there was a snowstorm the night before, going out and starting their car and brushing it off before they have to leave while they're getting ready, or taking time and doing date nights, or clearing your schedule on a night that you know they're free so that you can sit down and watch their favorite show with them, or even sitting across the table from each other and eating a meal, or both sitting in the same room, silent, reading books together, or joining a club together that it may not be your thing, but it's something that's of interest to them. There are thousands of ways to have those deep, intimate moments without saying a word. You know, in addition to having those conversations and continuing to have those conversations about what makes that person who they are. Because if there is one constant in the world, it is change. You know, things don't stay the same forever. I am a perfect example of that. I have had many, many different interests. I have had many, many different ways in which I grow and change, and the things that I'm interested in and how I spend my time and where I volunteer and where I am putting my energy, the friends that I'm spending time with, the conversations that I'm having, the subjects that I'm reading about or thinking about. And I am not the same person, I mean, obviously, but, you know, even prior to starting to transition, if you looked at me in 1 year and then looked at me a year later and a year later and a year later, yes, I'm the same person. Yes, I have a lot of the same interests. Yes, I have a lot of the same desires and character traits and all those types of things. But that person was not the same from year to year to year. And if I continue having a relationship with the person that I started dating, and not the person that they are, I am placing a cardboard cutout of who I think they are on top of a real live person. And that's not fair to me. That's not fair to them. That's not fair to the relationship. And eventually something's gonna give. And if they're doing the same thing to me, drifting will happen. Maybe you will be able to rip those cardboard cutouts to shreds and see the person for who they truly are. Maybe you won't. Maybe one of you will be able to and the other won't. Maybe you'll be able to make it work and grow back together. Maybe you won't. But honestly, communication and intimacy are the two things that are most important in that. And the next one is friendship. And there are so many different degrees of friendship. And the ways that that intimacy expresses itself. So, I have a lot of friends, and I have been nurturing those relationships especially hard over the past year-ish, since I started socially transitioning about a year ago. And I had friends, and I still have a lot of those friends, but the friendships that I have and that I spend my time and my energy on, a lot of them are completely different than they were, both in the way that they look and in the people that I'm spending that time with and that energy on. And some of them I'm very close with, and I speak with them multiple times a week, or, you know, whether it's just texting or, you know, in a conversation on the phone or through video chat when we can, or seeing them or meeting for coffee or whatever it is. But and some of them that I used to be really close with, we have kind of drifted. That doesn't make our relationship any less strong. It just means that we've each grown in our own ways, and sometimes we grow apart. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way things are sometimes. And so those all look different, but sometimes it's like I have this friend that I was... She had a friend that was going through a rough time, and she reached out to me and asked me if she could give this person my number and let her know that I'd be someone to be willing to talk about what's going on. And that's where the conversation started. 2 hours later, we were still on the phone. And we had talked about everything from hopes and dreams and desires about our lives and what's going on to energy work, to the soul and what that looks like, to negative energy versus positive, and bringing and how to bring that positivity into your life, how to spend the energy in your life. It was a very deep, intimate conversation. And this is a woman that I've known for a little less than a year. And we have hung out one-on-one only a handful of times. We run in the same circle of friends, so I see her pretty regularly, and she has been super supportive with my transition and with other things that I'm involved in. But I think that that was probably maybe the second or the third time that we've talked on the phone. But that conversation was so deep. I got to know her, and she got to know me in a really deep, familiar way. That if we hadn't taken the time to have that conversation, and to not keep it just about the surface level bullshit that sometimes happens, I don't think we would be as close as we are. And I don't think we... I'm pretty sure we never would have gotten to the type of conversation that we had this past week if we hadn't ripped off the Band-Aid and said, you know what? Let's be real. You know, and that's really what it comes down to in all of these relationships. Because pretty much every human is broken in some way. Some are more broken than others. And that's not to say that they're unfixable, you know, or faulty or anything like that. But, you know, and the perfect example, I don't remember what dynasty it was, but there's some art, and if you know, could you please put it in the comments, either on the video or on the podcast on my website, because if I remember correctly, there was a dynasty in China that when something would break, whether it was made of wood, made of glass, crystal, whatever, instead of throwing the pieces out, they would fix it with gold. And so you might have a mug that has a line of gold through it, and, you know, or a bowl that has all sorts of it, and there was a chunk that nobody could find, and so that was filled in. And I find that so beautiful, because that's how we are as people, is everyone is broken in their own way. But we use the tools that we have at our disposal, the relationships we have, the people in our lives, our strength of character, knowledge, so many things to help us heal and fill in those pieces that are missing and those cracks with a line of gold, you know, or a patch, or whatever it happens to be. Some of the most beautiful, loving, kind, vivacious, charming people that I know in my life, if you just looked at the facts about them, you would think that they were beyond repair. But they're not. And they are so lovely. And bright spots in my life of getting to spend time with them and getting to know them. And finding that common ground. And in order to do that, I have to let the shield down. I have to take off the mask, or dozens of masks, as the case may be, and allow myself to be real with them and hope that they're meeting me in the same place. And the next type of intimacy I want to talk about, it's kind of a combo, but soulmates and soul sisters, soul brothers, whatever you want to call them, those really true, true people. Those people that you just resonate with almost immediately, and it feels like you've known them your entire lives. And first, I'm just going to put a little opinion out there about soulmates. You know, some people say they exist, some people say they don't, some people say you're lucky if you ever meet them. I personally am of the belief that each one of us has sometimes dozens of soulmates. They may be, and each one of them is there to teach me a lesson, or to help me along the way, or to show me something about myself, to help me grow. Sometimes they are someone that I or you or someone else gets into a romantic relationship with, and that's beautiful, but most of the time they're not. I can think of at least 7 or 8 people that I would consider soulmates, and we were never romantically involved, and nor do I want to be. That resonance of twin type of soul doesn't have anything to do with romantic attraction or romantic entanglement. It might be a coworker, it might be a cousin, it might be a friend, it might be some your college roommate, it might be someone that you were friends with when you were 8 years old, and you don't see him again until you're 40 because you moved out of town or they did and you lost touch. But that intimacy, oh my God, it is so beautiful. And then, you know, there's another level of that. For me personally, you know, those soul sisters, those soul brothers, those soul siblings, where that relationship lasts longer, and they become just so entangled and meshed and a part of you, and there almost immediately, and it's so beautiful, and it's so visceral, and it's so helpful, and it makes me a better person to have those relationships. And with those, the intimacy is on such a deep, deep level. A level that, God, you're lucky if you have that level in just one or two of your relationships. And I've got people in my life, I've got 5 or 6 currently, that's just there. And I've had so many more that I've destroyed, that I have destroyed because of my actions. Because of being trans and convincing myself that I was a cis dude and I had to do things a certain way, especially with women, I couldn't recognize the difference between those relationships and lust, and telling myself I was falling in love with them, you know, or I had a crush on them, or whatever the case may be. And there were probably at least, I want to say, probably more than this, but I want to say there were at least 20 different women that I did not have a crush on, that I was not romantically interested in. But because of my inability to tell the difference between that soul sister type of relationship and tell the difference between that type of intimacy and lust and love and romantic attraction, I destroyed those relationships 100%, because I would put myself out there as, I have a crush on you, I would like to date you, I would like to, whatever the particular conversation I had with them was, it didn't matter. But what does matter is that we went from having that close, intimate relationship to having this big thing in between us. And most of the time, they didn't feel that way about me. And now I am realizing I didn't feel that way about them either. But what it did was it put this wall between us. And that relationship very rarely was ever repaired. And the thing that really brought that to light for me was my best friend. My best friend is a beautiful, shining, amazingly strong, light-filled woman. And she helped me so much since we became friends. She has helped me so much since we became friends. She took me, we went to the store, and actually, from looking at pictures on my Instagram a couple of days ago, or maybe this today, it was almost exactly a year ago that we went shopping for my first set of outfits to match my gender identity, or what it would grow into, because at that time I was still very confused. And I couldn't have done that on my own at that time. Now it doesn't bother me, not a big deal. If I want a dress, I'm going to get the dress. If I need makeup, I'm going to get makeup. Plain and simple. But not right now, because everything's closed and I don't really want to go out there and put that in there, but at that time I couldn't do that, you know, and she let me be the person that I was, and she let me be as vulnerable as I was, as sad and as angry and as confused and lost as I was in that moment. She let me be myself and gave me a safe place to be angry and to cry and to be happy and ecstatic and just loved me and let me be who I was at that moment, even if that changed from moment to moment. I was given a safe space to be truly, authentically myself. And we are very loving to each other. You know, kisses on the cheek and holding hands and looking deep in each other's eyes and telling each other how much we mean to each other. And about, I want to say like 7 or 8 months ago, not sure exactly. I think it was in August or September. It was right about the time I found my name. I got obsessed with this idea that I was in love with her. That I, you know, that it was more than a friendship. And that we should go out. And I had the same conversations with myself I've had with every other friend that has happened. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to say this. I'll just suffer in silence until it's gone, because if I say something, it will destroy our relationship. It will never be the same. It will never be as strong. And I don't know if I can take that. Or if she feels the same way and we get together and it doesn't work out, then I've lost my best friend. And I finally ended up having that conversation with her. And it was beautiful. And she listened, and then I listened, and we made a pledge to each other to not let it break us. Because she didn't feel the same way. And a few weeks later, something happened which made me realize that I wasn't in love with her. And that my idea of intimacy was fucked. Because I... And this doesn't seem like much, but she started dating her current partner. And when she called and told me about this person and what they were like and how they made her feel and what they were talking about and all this type of stuff. And this was maybe a week or two after we had this conversation. It wasn't that long. So I was still kind of rough, if you can imagine. And what I realized, and what kind of broke the wall down about my, and started a lot of my reflections on intimacy, was I wasn't jealous. I wasn't angry. I wasn't sad. I wasn't figuring out ways that I could push this person away from her, which were all things that I had felt in the past with previous women, that I had told them that I loved them or thought that I had a crush on or lust or whatever. I was ecstatic for her. I couldn't wait to meet this person. Because she's my best friend. I want her to be happy. I want her to be with a person, if that's her choice, that makes her alive, that compliments her, that improves her, and she compliments them and improves them. And so when I had that feeling, it all started to click. You're not in love with her, Justice. You love her deeper than most people that you love in your life. But it has nothing to do with romantic love. You know, and that's one of the failings, I think, of the English language. There are other languages, you know, Chinese, Japanese, and others, Greek, that have multiple words for love. English has one. And what that does is, I think, is it makes us force that onto relationships that shouldn't have it in the first place. And that's why there are so many broken promises, broken dreams, broken hearts, broken lives, broken marriages, broken everything. Because we're only given one term to describe what other languages and cultures have 5, 10, 15, 20 different words and combinations of words to describe. And as a result, intimacy suffers. And it really is hurtful to everyone and their relationships because it puts so much extra pressure on every relationship you're in. Because you don't have the words to accurately describe what it is. And as much as I hate labels, the humans, and especially our culture, labels everything. What is this? You know, how can I relate this to what's going on in my life? You know, how do I refer to this person? How do I refer to this relationship? So we have to put labels on things and on the relationship without just being able to say, well, this is this type of love. This is this type of friend. This is this type of coworker. This is whatever. Like, and so by not having those words to describe it, it causes more problems. And I don't know that there's a solution to that, but I know that since I've become aware of it, my relationships have grown in indescribable ways. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode of 404 Cishet Not Found. My name is Justice Dazzle, and I really hope that you enjoyed this, and if it brought up something for you, please send me an email, comment on this video, or comment on my website. My website is justice-dazzle.com. I put all of my writings and this podcast up there. You can email me at justice@justice-dazzle.com. And if you feel the desire and you are in a place that you can do it and you want to, feel free to donate to me. My Venmo is justice-dazzle, and my Cash App is justice-dazzle, one word. Feel no obligation. This is an act of love, a labor of love, and a way for me to reflect about the things that I'm learning about myself as I'm going through my transition. But I also won't turn it down, as I do have expenses in my life. And I thank you again so, so much for listening, especially if you got this far. And remember, I love you, I see you, and be kind. It doesn't cost anything.